What is your vision or picture of heaven? Does it include sound? Keep listening in, and for the next half hour, we'll talk about the sounds of heaven.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Good morning. Welcome to Perception. My name is Don Rule, and I'm delighted to be speaking with you again on this program after an absence of about 3.5 months. And I shall continue to do this program until the Nile Street Church of Christ has another preacher to do this program. Do you remember how excited you were the first time your baby said a word? When a boy at school hears that a girl is interested in him or vice versa, there is hardly anything more pleasant. When your children are young, or when they were young, and they greeted you with great enthusiasm at the door, you felt as though you were on top of the world. Likewise, there are some pleasant sounds of heaven we all want to hear. There are, of course, many sounds, and I cannot possibly cover them all today, because for one thing, we don't know what they all are, but even the ones that are revealed in the Scriptures, that's too much for one message. I've simply chosen the ones that came into my mind first. The book of Revelation is filled with the sounds of heaven. I encourage you to search the Scriptures, especially the book of Revelation, and hear what a wonderful place heaven is from the vantage point of sound. Here's the first one that I want to cover for you today. Words of acceptance. In Matthew 25, Jesus revealed that words of approval and acceptance will be uttered to Christians. Now, are there not people whose approval you seek? If they approve of what you have done, then that is reward enough. Here in Matthew 25, Jesus uses a parable to explain that he is like a man who travels to a far country. Before he leaves, he gives his servants money with which to trade. Two of the three worked to make more for their Lord, but the third did nothing with what he was given. Now, this all represents Jesus giving things to us, and he expects us to work hard, making something of what he has given to us. Finally, the man, or Jesus, returns, and he wants to know what his servants have done. When he learns what the first two did, here is what he said to them. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. This is stated a little bit later in the same chapter with a different parable. When Jesus revealed some of the words that will be spoken and some of the actions that will be taken at the day of judgment. Starting at verse 31, he said, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Friends, imagine being at the judgment, and you finally see Him whom you have been serving all these years. Now that would be excitement enough. That would be reward enough. But then He turns His attention to you and begins a conversation with you. The two of you talk about the life that you lived on this earth. And when He sees how you lived for Him, He commends you and invites you into heaven itself. Can you think of a greater sigh of relief? True, a disciple of Christ should know that when he or she dies, he is going to heaven. But it's also true to see Jesus speaking to us and saying to us, "Well done, you did a good job. Come and inherit the kingdom. Well done." Now, the Bible also tells us about some unspeakable words. 2 Corinthians 12 is Paul's account of the time that he was caught up to the third heaven or paradise. What happened when he got there? What did he see or what did he hear? Well, we don't know what happened and we don't know what he saw. But we know that he heard something, although we do not know what he heard. And here's why. He says in verse 4 that he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Also, Revelation 10 tells us about some unspeakable words in heaven. Revelation 10 shows that Paul was not the only one who heard some things that he was not to pass along. In the first chapter, when John sees the glorified Christ, the apostle is given these instructions by the Lord Himself, saying, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia." That was verse 11. And as you read, you discover that this included writing down what he heard. After every scene, he is given time to write down what he saw and heard. But then he comes to the events of chapter 10, and he hears something. And in verses 3 and 4, John says this about a mighty angel, saying that he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. John continued, "Now when the seven thunders utter their voices, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them.'" Now my first thought was, if John was not to write down their words, why did this incident even happen? Why is it in the Bible? Well, the book of Revelation has that name because it is a book of revealing, but it does not reveal all things. God wants us to see that He is working behind the scenes, but it is not necessary for us to see and to hear everything. Hopefully, when we Christians finally reside in heaven, we will learn what Paul and John heard. Did God reveal when the time of the end is? Did God reveal future events of the church or the history of the church on into the future? Did God reveal how Paul and John were going to die? You know, we can only guess. But knowing that at least two men, we're allowed to hear these words gives us hope that we shall hear them someday. The third sound or set of sounds of heaven that I want to give you is this: angels rejoicing. Luke 15 teaches that when a sinner is converted from worldliness, repents of his sin, and turns to Christ, there's a great deal of activity in heaven. Notice how Jesus illustrates this with a parable, and then how he relates it to the angels. In Luke 15, starting at verse 4, Jesus Christ said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." All of heaven notices when just one man or woman is converted. Angels note our lives, and they have rejoicing when we turn to the way that they know is right. Let me give you yet another passage. In Matthew 10, the Bible shows that Jesus Christ utters our names if we do something. And this may also be the reason that the angels are rejoicing. Matthew 10:32 says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Friends, are you not thrilled at the idea that whenever you confess Christ, your name can be confessed in heaven? And there's that idea of acceptance. Heaven accepts me. Heaven says my name. And the angels rejoice when they hear my name. Now the fourth set of sounds I want to give you are the sounds of the book of Revelation. There is a sound being made in heaven even as you are listening to this message. This sound of heaven is so significant that heaven shudders when this sound is made. What sound or what words could do this to heaven? Revelation 4:8 says, "The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night." In other words, they just keep on saying this: "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now, the reason I say that when these living creatures make this announcement that heaven shudders is because we're told about this in the book of Isaiah back in the Old Testament. You see, about 8 centuries before John gave us those words that I just read to you, Isaiah was allowed to see and to hear the same thing. And thus, in Isaiah 6, 3 and 4, Isaiah writes this: "And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So that's why I say that heaven shudders at the announcement of the holiness of God, and why it's going on right now, even as you're listening to this program. Do you not want to hear this sound? This announcement? And will not your soul tremble just like the posts of the door of heaven tremble at such an announcement? Now I take you into the next chapter of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5, where we have painted for us a crowd so large it is probably impossible for us to see it even in our mind's eye. Listen to this. Again, John writes, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Now this reading, I believe, is impressive because of the number of beings involved. For one thing, there were the four living creatures taking part in this. There were also the 24 elders who were mentioned back in chapter 4. And at first, John says many angels were involved in this. Then he specifies the number a little bit more when he says the angels numbered 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, how much is 10,000 times 10,000? 100 million. Plus, John says there were thousands of thousands. Now, a thousand of a thousand would be a million. However, John said there were thousands of thousands. So, the only thing we can just say is that there were 100 million plus. Now imagine if just you and I together uttered the words from Revelation 5 that I read to you a few moments ago. You know, we could put out some volume. You know, if we knew how to speak right and, you know, breathe from the bottom of our lungs and so forth. But what if 100 people joined us? How much greater could the volume be? Well, now hear in your mind's ear the great number that John said were uttering this announcement before the throne of God. And the fact that they were before God Himself would give them even more motivation and excitement to truly put out some volume. Do you not want to go to heaven just to be able to hear these sounds of heaven that I've shown you from the book of Revelation? There is more. The fifth sound that I want to speak to you about this morning is God singing. Have you ever read Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17? Before I read it, I want you to think about some singers you admire. God has created men and women with the wonderful ability to express themselves in song. Singers can say things that really relate to us and entertain us or move us. They can amaze us with their abilities. Keep in mind, though, that any singer you admire is merely a creation. Even as God created us with the ability to love, but His love is greater because He's the Creator. And even as God created us with the ability to know things, but His knowledge is greater because He is the Creator, so God created us with the ability to sing, but His singing is greater because He is the Creator of music. Now listen to Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love." Now listen to this part. "He will rejoice over you with singing." What does God as a singer sound like? I asked a close friend of mine that question, and he said in a purposely understated tone, "Very good." I am persuaded that once we hear the singing voice of God, the words that He will sing, the emotions that are behind them, that we will realize no metaphor existed on earth to picture His singing ability. Now, I know we often think about ourselves singing in heaven, but now be thrilled at the prospect of hearing God Himself sing. In the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, Scripture informs us that there is someone else whose singing we will hear. I do not know if what we are about to see in the Scripture means that in the Spirit this one sings with us now, or if when we get to heaven he will sing, but he will be among us when he does so. Surely it must include the latter. Whether it includes the former or not, I don't know. But listen to Hebrews 2, 11 and 12, speaking of Jesus Christ. "For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, 'I will declare your name to my brethren.' In the midst," that is, in the middle of the assembly, "I will sing praise to you," as though He's singing with us. Can you imagine such a thing? You have been reading about Him, hearing about Him, singing about Him, praying to the Father in the name of Jesus, and the day is coming when all disciples of Christ shall hear Him sing right in our midst. Now, my friends, have I missed any sounds of heaven? Well, you know that I didn't cover everything that the Bible says can be heard in heaven. I would like to know the sounds of heaven that you are eager to hear. I would love it if you would write me, Don Ruhl, the last name is R-U-H-L, care of Church of Christ, 2521 Nile Street, Klamath Falls, Oregon, 976-03-6913. Write it down. Send it to me. I'd love to read it. Now, at the beginning, I caused you to think about some of the pleasant sounds of earth, but there are also some sounds on the earth we don't want to hear. The doctor telling us that we have an incurable disease. A police officer coming to our door and saying that our child has been killed in a car wreck. A spouse who thought that everything was good in the marriage suddenly being served divorce papers. Likewise, there are some sounds from heaven that no one wants to hear, believe me. And in fact, I want you to believe Jesus, because He says so in Matthew 25. Jesus tells us ahead of time what He's going to say to some people. And the people who are described here are Christians who did not exercise their Christianity. If what I'm about to read speaks of unfaithful Christians, then what about the person who never became one in the first place? To Christians who did not help their fellow Christians and did not make use of the spiritual talents given to them, the Lord says, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He will also say to those people, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, do I need to ask you this question? Which do you want to hear? The unpleasant sounds of heaven or the pleasant sounds of heaven? Let this message end with your answer that you want to hear the pleasant sounds of heaven. If you want to know how to become a Christian, please get in touch with the Nile Street Church of Christ, All the necessary information is found in the Yellow Pages. Now, my friends, I want to invite you to the last day of a seminar on humanism that the Nile Street Church of Christ is hosting with Robert Wagoner, who is a very well informed man on this subject. I'd encourage you to come this morning at 10 o'clock and at 11, and again tonight at 6. Till next Sunday, sharpen your perception of the sounds of heaven. This has been Perception with Don Rule and the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand